Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Proverbs 18:10. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31:8. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. You see this verse on the screen, and you see it on the back of today's bulletin. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading. We're going to read again the first verses of the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Then we're going to skip down to the verse that you see on the screen, verse 39. May we pray together, please. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful group of young people and for the sweet voices that we hear. We realize that you have a magnificent future for each one. We pray that you will bless them, bless their parents, bless the teachers who teach them. We pray that most of all, each individual heart will be committed and dedicated to our wonderful Savior. We're thankful for these precious children. We realize that the future of our nation depends upon the commitment and dedication of young people like this. And we ask that you'll bless them in a very special way. And we thank you for every wonderful provision. In Jesus' name, amen. We're reading Luke 24, 1 through 6, and then skip to verse 39. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee." Then turn, if you will, please, to verse 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. We have the German translation of that verse. It goes like this. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. Then a spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see I have. We're going to spend a few moments in exegetical study of this magnificent verse, Luke chapter 24, 39. It's interesting that Jesus Christ says, "See my hands and see my feet." What we have here is a verb. When it says see, it is the verb horao, which is the word which means horizon, a long look. Take a good long look at what's taking place. And so Jesus Christ is saying, take a long look. See my hands, see my feet, that is I myself. When I look at this, I discover, as you can discover, that the word see there is an imperative verb. And it is the word which means it's a command. I failed to really emphasize this in the previous verse of Scripture in Luke 24, 6, where the word remember is used. I mentioned it, but I didn't harp on it. Probably I should have. And that is that the word remember is also in the imperative mood, it's a command. So the Lord wants us to remember, to put into our innermost being, put into our thinking, an awareness of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Lord says, take a long look. Take a look at my hands. Take a look at my feet. It's interesting when I find words in the original language that we have words that we use in the English in the medical field, for instance. Here's a word, podos, which is the word from which we get podiatry. Going down here to the word see, and it has to do with the bones, and it is the word O-S-T-E-A. You've heard of the word osteoporosis. You know what that means? Okay. I just want you to see how fantastic it is when you're studying the original language, how you see the words that are used. See my hands, my feet. Jesus said, I want you to know it's myself. I want you to see this. Then he says, and this is interesting also, and this is another verb in the imperative mood. He says, handle me and see. So we have the word handle here, which is an aorist active imperative verb, another word of command. And see, then he says, because a spirit, flesh and bones, does not have, flesh and bone does not have, and then he says, as you see me having. Now that leads me to tell you something that you probably already discovered. That in today's bulletin, there's an insert. And in today's bulletin, the insert has to do with the resurrection. And all of you who were extremely sharp today were able to take that insert out, and you were able to see that a lot of the things that I said were already given to you in the insert of today's bulletin. Now, if you didn't see that, that's okay too. I just want you to know that I sneak up on you sometimes. And our amanuensis also sneaks up on you. She sneaks up on me sometimes. That's been happening through all these years. And that is, sometimes when I announce a sermon title, and then they come up with an insert, it has to do with the sermon I'm going to be preaching. So it's always interesting. But I always don't pay a lot of attention to that, because sometimes I take part of it, sometimes I take none of it, sometimes I take all of it. And so you and I are blessed no matter what the situation is. But in today's bulletin, there's an insert, and the insert has to do with the resurrection. And in that insert, there is a presentation of the first and second resurrections. And so I think that you probably already saw that. Also, things that I will not be giving you other than just to point out the fact that you and I must be aware of the fact that there are many resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the bulletin today, you have these. There is the resurrection appearances, Mary Magdalene, and the verses, the women, Simon Peter, two on the way to Emmaus, the disciples in the upper room, Thomas, John, Peter. You have all this. So I'm just letting you see that this is information that you've already have in hand, and so I'm not going to be going through all of this now. This is the resurrection appearances. And then we have what is known as after the resurrection, which is after the ascension. And there's Stephen, there's Paul on the Damascus Road, and so forth and so on. This information is in your bulletin today. And so that for that reason, I'm not giving you all of this and letting you stay with me. Also, I want to mention something that you may or may not be aware of. That when Jesus Christ died, his body went to the tomb, his spirit went into the Father's presence, his soul went into Abraham's bosom. Now, we could spend an hour on this, and you probably need to think about it. If you don't already have this information down, you ought to get it down and look up these verses, Luke 23:53, Luke 23:46, Psalm 31:5, Psalm 16:10, Luke 23:43. When Jesus died, his body went to the tomb. The spirit went to the Father, into the Father's presence. The soul went to Abraham's bosom. We have studied this in the past. You have it down here. Three compartments: paradise, torments, and Tartarus. We've already analyzed this in past years, but this is something you need to remember. And I'm going to leave this up here just for a few moments. When Jesus died, his body went to the tomb, Luke 23:53. His spirit went into the Father's presence, Luke 23:46. Psalm 31:5. His soul went to Abraham's bosom, Psalm 16:10, and Luke 23:43. I think you would find it very interesting to study these verses of Scripture. Now, have you ever thought about this? When Jesus Christ came out of the grave in bodily resurrection, have you thought about that body? Have you given any consideration to what kind of body it was and what the capabilities were in relationship to the body? I want to give you 9 points, and we only have a little bit of time, so I will not have the time to preach on each one of these points, but I want you to be able to see some things that the Bible teaches about the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, according to Luke 24:39, which is our verse for now, see my hands and feet, that it is I myself, touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. So we have an emphasis here upon the fact that the resurrection body of Jesus Christ retained the nail scars in hands and feet, according to Luke 24:39. If you'll notice, number two, that the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ was recognized by the disciples as the one who died and came forth out of the grave. That's presented to us in Luke 24:34, where it says, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." The emphasis here is upon the fact that Jesus Christ came out of the grave bodily. We have a resurrection body. This is a body. I try to emphasize this enough because a lot of people have all kinds of ideas about this. But Jesus Christ was recognized by his disciples as the one who died and rose again in Luke 24:34. And in 1 Corinthians 15, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture, verses 5 through 7, and also John 20:11-17. The Lord really has really risen and has appeared to Simon. I don't want to go too rapidly, but I want you to get this information, the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, the Bible teaches that after the resurrection, according to Luke 24:42, that Jesus Christ was able to eat. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And verse 43 of Luke 24 says, he took it and ate it in their sight. Now, I want you to just think about this. You probably haven't given a lot of thought to it. But Jesus Christ, in resurrection body, had the ability to eat. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, Luke 24:42. And Luke 24:43 says, he took it and ate it in their sight. Number four, the resurrection body had flesh and bones, but no blood. And we've already analyzed that as we read today, Luke 24:39, Luke 24:40. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. You're taking notes rapidly, I know. I'm moving rapidly, but I want you to get an overview. Number three again, after the resurrection he could eat, Luke 24:42. And number four, resurrection body had flesh and bones, but no blood, Luke 24:39-40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Number five, the resurrection body was a material construction and could be touched and felt. We have already, I believe, in our minds thought about this. The resurrection body was a material construction and could be felt. We find that in Matthew 28:9. Jesus met them, greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. That's Matthew 28:9. In John 20:17, Jesus said to Mary, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And that's Luke 24:39. Have I given you enough time to copy number five? I repeat, recapitulate, the resurrection body was of material construction and could be felt, as recorded in many other verses, but primarily here, Matthew 28:9, John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus met them, greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Matthew 28:9. I just cannot imagine what was going on in the individuals' minds at this particular event. Can you imagine? Just think about it with me. And then in John 20:17, Jesus said to Mary, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." And that's found in Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Number 6, the resurrection body could breathe, according to John chapter 20, verse 22. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." The resurrection body could breathe. John 20, verse 22. And when he said this, and I repeat, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." I stop right here for a moment to remind you of what has taken place in your life. Some weeks ago, some months ago, some years ago, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you did that, God, the Holy Spirit, worked a miracle in your life and placed you into His royal family. That simply means that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. Jesus said, "I in you and you in me." I don't know whether we ever thought a whole lot about that, but all of us must be aware of the fact that having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been moved from a dichotomous body-soul person to a trichotomous body-soul-and-spirit person, which simply means that God has worked this miracle of transformation. We call it regeneration, which simply means that God has made it possible for us now to have the means by which we can comprehend, understand, categorize things in the realm of the spiritual. The Scripture says that an unsaved person is a pneumatikos person. He's a soulish person. He is not a person who's been born into God's kingdom. He's a psychikos person and not a pneumatikos person. A psychikos person means he's a soulish person. Do you understand that? Now, some of you were not even aware of the fact that I made a mistake there. I just let you know that I did make a mistake and I caught it, and I'm now telling you, and some of you are saying, "What kind of mistake did you make?" Well, there's a difference between an unsaved person and a saved person. A saved person is a pneumatikos, the word pneuma, spirit, which simply means that God moves the person from a body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. So you're trichotomous as a believer. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. Why? Because they are not trichotomous, they are dichotomous, body and soul. Now, to make this very simple and very plain, it is that an unsaved person, being body and soul, cannot comprehend, cannot understand, cannot categorize, cannot put together spiritual things. Why? Because they are soulish, psychikos. But since you and I have been born into God's kingdom, we have been changed. And we have received, at the point of salvation, the ability to comprehend spiritual phenomena. Which simply means that you and I now have a desire and a hunger for things in the realm of the spiritual. Now, what I'm trying to tell you here is that there's an emphasis in the Scripture on what God does to an individual when he believes. He's moved to the ability to comprehend and understand things in the realm of the spiritual. When you get up each morning and you're aware of the fact that you're still in existence, you're still here, God has a purpose and a plan for you, you be aware of the fact that God has made you a trichotomous individual, which means you have body, soul, and the ability to comprehend and understand and enjoy the things in the realm of the spiritual. How fantastic this is. Well, I inserted here between number 6 and 7 a little bit of my preaching. Okay? The resurrection body could breathe, John 20:22. As the Father sent me, I also send you. He had said this when he said this. He breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Number 7. The resurrection body could walk through doors. John 20:19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, then Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Are you able to see what is being presented in number 7? The resurrection body could walk through doors. Stop me, preacher. Stop, will you please? Okay, I will. One of these days you're going to die. Your body is going to go back to the dust of the earth. If the rapture occurs, then you and I will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to be the recipient of a resurrection body. What I want you to be able to see is that the type of body that the Lord Jesus Christ had, resurrection body, is presenting to us the picture of what kind of a body we're going to have. We need to see that. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but you've thought about it, I'm sure. That every day you live, you have died another day. Now, isn't that thrilling for me to tell you that? Every day you live, you're one day closer to your departure time. And let me tell you this. Your departure time is in God's sovereignty, God's will. It's not up to you. So don't go out and be foolish and take your own life. Even as a believer, you'll go to heaven, but you'll miss some things. And so just, I want you to understand this. God has a plan, and God knows exactly when He wants to take you and me from this earth. And you're not going to miss that appointment. When it's time for you to go, you're going to go. When it's time for me to go, we're going to go. At the point of our departure, we're not going to have a resurrection body like the body that will be taking place at the end of the time of the church age. But there's going to be a body. We call this an interim body. We don't know all the facets about this, but we know that it is going to be an existent body. It's going to be an awareness body. It's not a matter of going into oblivion. It's not a matter of not having the ability to be aware. In other words, the Lord says that when you die, you're going to be aware. And so what I'm trying to do is to tell you that there will be a day when in the future, at the time of the rapture of the church, that we're going to be then the recipients of a glorified spiritual resurrection body. Do you understand what I said? Okay, good. Number 7. The resurrection body could walk through doors. John 20:19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, then Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Number 8. The resurrection body could appear and disappear. This is found in Luke 24:17-25. I'd encourage you to write that passage down. The resurrection body could appear and disappear. And number 9, and I need to tell you that in the seminary and in college years and years ago, we were told that if you had 7 points, then be sure that you have 8. If you have 9 points, be sure you have 10. Well, you know what? I resented that. So I just enjoy ending on number 9. Not really. I'm just being foolish. But number 9 is my last one. The resurrection body could move vertically and horizontally. The resurrection body of the Lord Jesus Christ could move vertically and or horizontally. According to Acts 1:9, after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I need to tell you that I have a lot of information to give you. I want to deal with the resurrection. Think about it now. I want to deal with the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. The question is, does the resurrection of the Old Testament saints come at the time of the rapture? Now, I'm going to just let you think about that. And on Wednesday night, I look forward to seeing all of you. And we're going to deal with the subject of the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Now, look at this magnificent verse. Jesus said, "See, horao, take a long look. See my hands, take a look. Horizon, a long look, my feet." And I want you to understand that this is me. This is myself. Handle me and see. Because the spirit, flesh, and bones does not have as you see me having. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. You've listened very attentively and carefully. We've had a good time today being aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. He's there to make intercession for us even now. In these closing moments of this service, for those who hear the message who've never accepted our Savior, this is a wonderful time for you. This is a time when you could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says so plainly, "But as many as received Him," that's Christ, "to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in His name." I would encourage you at this very moment, if you've never done this, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can do that at this very moment, realizing that there's only one way of salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died, was buried, and came forth out of the grave, victorious for you and for me. This is a wonderful time for you to believe. Father, thank you so much for this day, another magnificent day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And help us every day of our lives to be aware of the fact that there's not anything more wonderful than a personal relationship and encounter with our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, my soul clings to you.